Paul wrote this in his last days. This is the last book he wrote. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, well, chapter 4 ended up that chapter, this 2 Timothy, probably the last books that Paul wrote was 1 Timothy, Titus, and 2 Timothy, probably around the year before he died, that he went to, was martyred, and he wrote these to Timothy. Timothy was a pastor, preacher, and Paul was giving him instruction in the prior chapter. He told him to study to show himself approved unto God, and then Paul was telling him to stand as a good soldier. He mentioned many things there within that little chapter there about the things that God had put on him to tell this young man that he would have to take a stand because Paul was starting to leave. And Timothy was a like, there was no other man like-minded as Timothy was toward Paul. God uses men as they are. God does train men under ministries, and they do have some like-mindedness of the gospel and what God has for them in the ministry. And so Paul writes this, and I'm thinking tonight that this is truly a warning. And Paul's also not only a warning for us, because when it was wrote, of course, God had His church in mind, but we're such a young nation tonight, and we've got to realize that, thank God, in this day, these things were going on. When you say the last days, you're talking about the days of Christ unto now. When Paul wrote this, he said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And so he's telling Timothy that these things have come. Now, what's going on then, but it's increased. We find an increase in this day and what we read tonight. And I'm going to preach it a little different than most people would, because I really believe that he's saying this to Timothy because he was a minister. This would be a society thing, but also too it could be a religious thing, that in this day there was many oppositions and religions that was trying to oppose the gospel of the true Savior. And therefore, Paul's saying these things is going to take place. It could take place amongst professors in the church. Amen. There's always been tares amongst the wheat. There's always been, my friend, a professor without a possessor of the gospel. But Paul said this, this will also in the last days, perilous times shall come. The word perilous means they're fierce. Thank God. There's only another time that the Bible used the word fierce in this way, for it was a devilish time. It was a time of my friend, of difficulty and danger. And he said that men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And that surely is a description of a religious world, that they have a form. Now, the word form, this means they got some kind of formula, thank God, or some appearance of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, which denying of the power is denying of the Spirit or the supernatural. Thank God, God's a God of supernatural. He's a supernatural God. He does supernatural things. This isn't a natural book. It's a supernatural book. You can't learn this Bible without the Spirit of God teaching it to you. It's the Spirit of God has got to teach you the Word. He said it's not received by the natural man. It's received by the Spirit man. What we've done, we've organized religion, thank God, and systematically we've made it, thank God, a form. And therefore, it's no more than people going to a synagogue, hearing a man speak the Scripture and going back home, and there's no change in them. It's just a religious duty that's just in their heart. And Paul said here that men shall be lovers of their self. And brethren, that was the first thing here that he mentioned, that in the last days men will love their self. God's commandment is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And God's writer said, thank God, that men ought to consider others above their self. And the thing of it is, self's the biggest enemy you got tonight. But you love self more than anything else. Amen. I'm not not saying that about you, but I'm just saying in these days, amen, men love their self. Thank God, people love their self. The religious people love their self. They love flattering titles in this day. Thank God, now I know I'm going to say some things tonight that some people just might not agree with. But the thing of it is, we've got preachers that love their self. They love high titles. They like to be called doctor. They like to be called reverend. They like to be called something that would build their image up. Thank God that they are somebody. Buddy, I don't have to have nothing to build my image up. I am who I am by the grace of God. And I don't have to have a title. Amen. The best title a man can have outside of being saved and a child of God is the word servant. Amen. It's the greatest thing a man could ever be is a servant. Jesus didn't come to be ministered to. He came to minister. Amen. It wasn't saying, look who I am. He took upon him the form of a servant. He made himself of no reputation. Amen. He had, my friend, thank God. Amen. A humble heart. He had a. If you want to be like him and I want to be like him, we're going to have to be humble. He said, praise God, he was humble. Amen. He resists the proud, giving grace to the humble. And tonight, thank God, we have to see ourselves as it really is. Amen. If you're in Christ tonight, that's the best place you could be. Thank God. And you're saved by grace through faith. You couldn't improve that. Amen. I'm not discouraged tonight. I'm not listening. Thank God tonight I'm glad that where I am, I'm in Christ. And that's the best position a man can have. I don't have to put on airs. I don't have to be somebody I'm not. I don't have to do that, thank God, because I want somebody to look up to me. Amen. Praise God. It's about Jesus. And men love their self tonight. They love their image. They love their self. What they want. What they live for. Thank God. And Paul said, this is the way it'll be. They love their self. Thank God. They put their self above others. And brother, it's a last day thing. It's been going on a long time. Amen. And it's all about self. That's the biggest enemy a man's got tonight. Amen. Amen. Said here, love ourselves. Said here, they covetous. That means that they love money. That's just the way it is. If you covet something, you can covet something beside money. But money, the love of money is the root of all evil. And tonight, just think about this. Thank God, there's people that miss God and miss the will of God because of money. Amen. Their mindset's money. They think success is money. Well, we got to have money to live. Jesus talked about money. It's about working and getting money. It's about being blessed and God giving you money. Amen. God gives it through your planting. Amen. When you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. When you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Hey, God, my God, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. He promised that to a church that was a giving church to him. And hey, give to his necessity. And God said, Paul said, because you give to me, God's going to take care of you. Amen. And therefore, we don't covet things. We got a God in heaven that owns it all. And we don't have to covet, thank God. We can go to him and get what we stand in need of. Amen. God take care of you tonight. Amen. Buddy, he does. He said in Psalm, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, neither seed begging bread. Thank God. He said, I've been old. I've been young and now I'm old and I hadn't seen it. Amen. He's a God of provisions tonight. Amen. Covetousness is one of the most damnable sins. They coveted the tree. They coveted the silver. They coveted. They desired to have something God said don't have. Amen. Covet not a man's wife. Don't covet his goods. Don't covet the things that he has. Don't look and see he's got a new car and I got to have one. Amen. Don't live your life with your eyes on other people and what they've got. Things don't, the life of God, don't consist in a bunch of things a man possesses. That's the blessing of God tonight that we rejoice in. I'm glad I got a house tonight. I'm glad, thank God, I got a place to stay. And praise God for an automobile that's got a good one. I'm glad for that. I'm glad I got clothes tonight. Amen. But buddy, we can get our eyes on piling up things and be like the rich fool and said, look at all that I've got. I'll tear down these barns and build greater. I'll eat and and drink and be merry. That is a danger now for anybody that lives in America that's got prosperity. That's a danger, friend, because it's easy to say, I'm just going to live this way. I'm going to take it easy. And God said, you're a fool. But tonight thy soul's required of thee. That's why we have tonight. Amen. You know what shut down the church? It's prosperity. It's good. There's no faith in that no more. I'm preaching to myself as much as I am you. When's the last time you had to have something and you really believe you had to have it and you couldn't go get it with some card or you couldn't get it just instant like that? It took God to bring it forth. Amen. That's faith, brother. It ain't faith when you can see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. It ain't something you can see. If we could see it, it wouldn't be faith. Amen. Nor move with fear. Why? Because God said it's going to rain. And I'm telling you to build an ark and it never had rain, but it did rain after he built the ark. Not before, amen, thank God. And I'm saying in our faith is something, thank God, that covetousness bumps heads with. Because covetousness is something you desire can see tonight, amen. I'll make this statement. There's nothing wrong with being blessed of God and having nice things. What the problem is when nice things become our God. That's the problem right there. Amen. It's hard for me. It's hard for you. And no matter who it is. Amen. That's right. Thank God I like certain things that moves my eye gate. Amen. It says, looky there now. Amen. Like the ladies. Amen. Some of them have 100 pair of shoes. They just can't get enough of them. They can't wear but one pair at a time, but they got 100 pair. Amen. Men, I probably got 40 shirts at home. Amen. I see a good white shirt, blue shirt. Amen. I like to buy it. Amen. That's right. Because it's just the way it is. Thank God. That's just the way life is. Thank God, there's always going to be temptation and coveting something and want something God says you don't need, you know. Amen. Thank God, friend, I'm telling you, the last day sin of America tonight is covetous. And they say, get all you can. It's going to be left behind one day. Amen. I like you. Thank God he said boasters. Boy, ain't we got some boasters. You know what a boaster is? An empty pretender. That's what it said in the Strong's. A boaster is an empty pretender. It's somebody that wants to boast in something that really they got an empty drum. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. They've got to brag. I mean, buddy, they got the best of everything. If you talk to them, they know everything and they've got the best of everything. Amen. And they got to outdo somebody else. And then Billy said, thank God I'm glad that God blessed me with this. Somebody else will stand up and say, I'm glad God blessed me with more. Amen. Thank God, friend. We're not in competition tonight. Amen. We're blessed by God anyhow because we're in Christ. You can't get no better than that. Amen. Buddy, you can't name a person in this church can better the position that they have there in Christ. Thank God, if there's any boastings, let it be of Him. If there's any boastings, let it be done by Him. He said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand does. He said in the book of Proverbs, thank God, my friend, don't you go brag on yourself. If somebody's going to give you a compliment or honor, let the stranger's mouth do it, and not your own. Amen. That's right. It's hard to do sometimes. You say, I don't never do it. You do. You think it. Well, boy, my grandson hit the ball good today. Well, man, he ain't good as mine. That's right. That's sure it's right. Amen, buddy. Amen. We all got that problem. You know what it comes from? I'll tell you, it comes from the next thing that's written down. In other words, it's proud. Yeah. Amen. Proud. Puffed up. Proud. Pride means that I think I'm better than somebody else. Pride says I can lift myself above them. Pride says I don't have to listen to God. Pride says I don't have to listen to that preacher how he's a preaching. Pride says I'm better than they are. Pride says I can do it. Pride says, thank God, my friend, that I am, thank God, better than them other people are. Now, I want to tell you this tonight. There ain't a person in here don't have a battle with pride. People get pride over their knowledge. People get pride over their gifts. Pride over preaching. Pride over singing. Pride over playing. Pride over, praise God, testifying in the church. People get pride in them. You better come humble before God. We have to realize this, friend. God is the best. Without Him, we can do nothing. Justin spoke up there at the rest home the other night a little while and done a good job. And he said, I was nervous. I said, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. I mean, listen, friend. When we get to the place that we think that we've got it, we don't. When we get to the place that we think we know everything, we don't. Amen. Listen, friend. There's always somebody else. Amen. I tell you, a little old child, that crowd asked Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus said, come here, little boy. He said, right here. He said, right here's the greatest in the kingdom. Don't you know them apostles, them disciples are saying, man, maybe you'll save me. You ever thought that? You ever thought somebody's going to say, man, I'm the best? You ever thought, thank God, somebody said, I sung the best today, preached the best today. Hey, man! Hey! Oh, praise God, I raised them. I got the best kids. I got the best this and that. And they said, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said that little old boy was. Wasn't you. Wasn't me. It's a danger, friend, of getting big-headed, getting puffed up. Yeah. Well, I remember as a young preacher, I puffed up a lot. Because, people brag on you. Man, you young preacher preaching like that. Getting calls to preach all the time. Boy, you're a preacher. I said, yeah, you know I am a preacher. I tell them like it is, man. That's right. I might not have said it to you, but you think that, you know. You didn't have to study for a message as much then because you just preached what you seen. Amen. That's right, but it didn't help the people. Built your ego. Can I tell you something tonight? You hear me gladly. Preaching, if you want to see what the fruit of the preacher is, look at the people he preaches to. That's no glory to him. It's the Spirit through him producing what he wills to produce. If I preach to you and all you cared about is going out of here and criticizing people and blaspheming people, then I'm not doing the job. But if I can preach and you can leave here and thank God for who Jesus is and know where you're at with God and know in your own heart that you're saved and Christ is the most important thing and that's all about Him, okay, I'm glad to hear it. Amen. That's right. Right spirit. We don't always have it. Those here, he said this, they're proud. Well, how many are running down there? Somebody always said, hey, ask me, how many people you got down there now? I said, I don't know, we don't count them. That's what I always tell them. Well, you don't know how many you got? I said, no, I don't know, we don't count them. I said, I come here and I don't think it's wrong. But we got there's a number board up here, and I don't think it's wrong. And when I come here, there wasn't many people. It's probably about 20. And I don't know if you'd even use many people. I think you'd just use there was fewer than what we got now. Can I tell you something? God's looking for a person or a people that love Him. He ain't looking for a crowd. Right. Amen. That's exactly right. And that number board, praise God, we had one Sunday, I remember this, it wasn't long after, it was like 70 people. And I saw it next Sunday go down to 50. And I saw the very temperature of the church being controlled by that board over there. And I said, we got to get rid of that. That could be an idol. We could be worshiping how many people we got instead of the God that's bringing the people in. Amen. That's right. You can get proud in your accomplishments. You can get proud and say, well, look at all these we got. Buddy, if God planted the whole place full, and I ain't wanting a church of 300 people, but if God put the church full, I'm telling you, it'd be His will and His doings. Amen. You say, why wouldn't you want 300? I couldn't know them all good. That's right. If God put 300 in here, we'd have to knock the walls out anyway. I like it the way it is.
Amen.
But if God wanted to do it, it's His business. It's His church. It ain't mine. Isn't that right? Is that your church, preacher? No, it's not my church. I'm the pastor of it, but it's not my church. I'm part of the church. I'm a part of the body. Amen. But it's not my church. It's God's church. Amen, buddy. That's right. This is maybe didn't say he made me an overseer over the flock of God, not the flock of height. That's right. These preachers think they own the church. They don't own the church. They put in the church to lead the people. Amen. I don't own it. I don't want to get so proud that I think, man, it ain't me. You ain't going to listen to me. Hey, friend, if you won't listen to God, you wouldn't listen to me anyhow. Listen to this here, proud. Notice what he said here, blasphemers. Blasphemers, that's people that are slanderous and use their communication line in an unholy way. That's somebody that says, you know, blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. People say, you think I've... Brother, listen to me. You can take what you want to out of that blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost to me is a sin committed by reprobate people. In other words, blasphemy is a tongue sin. It comes from the heart that's attributing the work of God to the devil. That's what that is. They called Jesus. They said, they have a Beelzebub. And Jesus said, you speak against me, but if you speak one word against the Holy Ghost and blaspheme him, it will not be forgiven. In fact, who done it? It wasn't sinners. It was religious people that blasphemed the Son of God and His work because they hated the new covenant. They hated the new message. And they hated that they wasn't in rule no more. They'd done made enough rules up. Amen. And Jesus come, thank God, and told them that He was the Messiah. And they rejected who He was because they didn't like the way He come and what He said. And so they attributed them great miracles that He did. And said the devil's doing it. And Jesus said, He said, the house cut me to vine instead. That's what He said. Amen. That's right, too. Blasphemers. People use loose language, too. And how they attribute things or how they talk in the presence of God. Amen. I don't think the name Lord should ever be used loosely. I don't think people should say, Lordy, Lordy. I think they ought to recognize who the Lord is, and there ain't but one. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Buddy, I'm telling you what, there's a Holy Ghost in me that gives me a governor on me, friend. It's a governor on me. Now, I like to click it around, and you know that. But it ain't in the pulpit, and it ain't in the pew, making a likeness of God and His Word. When you do that, you're opening the door up, thank God for my friend, things to be said that could be taken in a light way and made light of. And blasphemy, my friend, is a sin, friend. Thank God, He said, this is the way they'll talk in the last days. People don't have no fear of God. Notice this here. He said here, they're disobedient to parents. In other words, they're not going to listen to them. Now, I'll say this and I'm going to run with it. God put the parents in charge of the children. So if the children don't mind, then that's because the parents don't make them mind. And this just plain out disobedience is a sin. A disobedient to parents. If my daddy and mama said, Joey, take the trash out. Joey is going to take the trash out. Because if Joey don't take the trash out, then Joey's going to get his bottom popped. They ain't going to come up and say, now, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to count the three. Or if you don't listen to me, I'm going to put you in the corner. I'm telling you, under God, I wish I had. I'd have got by that a little bit better. I could have took that corner stuff. It just make me more spoiled if they'd have put me in the corner and not whooped me. But you might as well cut the Bible up. We don't believe the whole Bible. He said the foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. And I'm telling you, you're a blessed person if your daddy or mama, thank God, used a rod on you because they loved you and not hated you. You're a blessed person tonight. And I don't believe in child abuse. I don't believe a parent ought to take their hand, smack them upside the head, cuss them and talk ugly to them and treat them and degrade them and all that. But I do believe that when they lie or willfully disobey, they need to be corrected. I'm going to tell you what. Thank God I'm telling you this. My family, and they sat back here on the back row tonight, my mom and dad, buddy, we wasn't spiritual people, but we were common sense people. And I knew, thank God, if they said it, they was going to do it. And they didn't have to worry about me going to the church house, cutting up, pitching a fist. I'm telling you, if I'd have done that one time, I'd have had a back end that would have been on fire. And the next time I thought about it, it wouldn't have happened. But what we got today in the church house is we got men that won't be men. Disobedient to parents. Praise God. You say, you believe that, preacher? You listen to me tonight, brother. I was raised in a home. Thank God that they drove foolishness out of me with a rod, God said do. And it brought me, thank God, a subjection to authority that was above me. Amen.
Right.
Now, you people argue with that, and they won't argue with the book, friend. And a spanking it and answer for everything. And threatening, sure ain't. Don't threaten your children. Why does it always get tight when I get on this? That's the truth. I'll tell you one thing. If you do that again, I'm going to whoop you. Mama and daddy needs a bar of soap in their mouth because they lied. And the kids know they lied. My daddy didn't threaten me. He said, if you don't do it, I will. When I was 16, 17 years old, and I think, you know, I mean, when a kid's that age, they be yawns. Spanking, bringing them out of rebellion. You go spank a child when they're 17, now you just provoking them out. You don't bend a tree when it's 17 years old. You bend it when it's 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Right.
Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. I want to say this. Let me say the other side of it. Let children be children. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to do things they ought not to do. Children need to be children. Don't think they're going to be an adult, but they need to mind the adult. A boy ought to play with cars, and I know I've said this before, and I know this ain't spiritual, but it's just the truth. Boys ought to play with cars, footballs, baseballs. Girls ought to play with baby dolls.
That's right.
I'd feel bad if you give your boy a baby doll. I'd preach against it.
Amen.
A boy don't need to be having a baby doll. I'll be honest with you. I don't know why I'm on all this, and you know how I get sometimes on this, so just go ahead and take it and just say, you know, Brother Hyatt got off on one of his little old things tonight. It really bothers me that these boys talk like girls. It really bothers me. It really bothers me. And I say the daddy needs to teach the boy how to shake somebody's hand.
Yeah.
I mean, you go up. If I shake somebody's hand, I want good to see you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not like he is.
You tell it right.
And mama wanted that boy to be a girl so bad, I mean, she lets his hair go out like a girl.
Yeah.
Need to sweat. Boys need to sweat.
Yeah.
Need to do something that's got some masculinity to it. We live in a day now, they don't like that. Oh, you ought not say that. Well, I said it, I'll say it rougher than that. A girl ought to be feminine.
That's right.
Amen. I don't want to marry a woman that's wearing a hard hat. Amen, buddy. That's right. You say you're on it? Yes, sir, I'm on it. I think a woman ought to be feminine. I think she ought to look like a woman.
Right.
I think she ought to smell like one. Amen. I know she's going to go out and work in the yard like my wife, and amen, all that. They're going to sweat too, but I'm telling you what, praise God, at the end of the day, amen, I see her sitting over in a chair. I'm glad I'm looking at somebody that don't look like me. Amen. It's a blessing, ain't it? Sure's right. Amen. I mean, praise God, friend. I'm just saying this tonight. Amen. Disobedient to parents, we're raising a generation. Thank God that all they know. Sitting inside. You ever saw a day? I'm probably going to cut the message off after this. You ever saw a day that nobody plays outside no more? That's all we did. Mama said, you get your tail in outside.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what we wanted to do. We played ball. We played the ball that the season was in. We went down to the creek and had dirt clod fights. We had them boys up across the road. We'd go up there and them bangers, they was rough. And they said, let's just have a fort. Let's make us a fort and throw dirt clods at one another. Amen. Don't do it, but they shot BB guns at one another. Amen, buddy. I mean, you had to create something. You didn't sit around saying, I'm bored. Bored? God helps you, put me to work. You don't do that. You go out and you do something. You play ball. Hey, God, play with trucks. We took them little Hot Wheel cars and them little old trucks. Thank God, and slid them around the dirt. And imagination, I got one. Amen. I said, boy, I'm taking these trucks to the plant. I'm unload these here. We put them pecans in the back of the, thank God, the bed and everything else. And we made us little towns and cities. And you know what? If I got down with a young person now to do that, they'd say, what's wrong with him? I don't want to go outside. I've got a cell phone I want to look at. I'm going to tell you what, children ought not be carrying around a cell phone with the internet on it.
Right.
I think it's all right for them to have one, but they ought not have the internet if they need it. I don't think you ought to give them everything they want. I think they ought, praise God, Daddy said, yeah, amen. You know, when I was young, I had to get a little job there in the summertime. I'm just glad here's my boss man. Papa was my boss man first, worked at Cartex Mill. Then I went with Procter Chemical. Then as soon as I got out of high school, you're going to get a job. September 25th, 1978, I went to work at Bendix. And I worked there and got saved and started pastoring here. And praise God, that's where I'm at tonight. I attribute that to teaching. God's mercy and grace, but God used parents to teach me. Amen. I know we live in a different day. I know that. I'm not that dumb. It's just a part of life. Social media is a part of life. Cell phones is a part of life. If I tried to take your cell phone, you'd die. I got one myself. I do. I got a cell phone. Everybody in here probably got one that's an adult or a family's got one. Man, praise God, it's 8 o'clock. I'm about to cut it off. 7:59, I got 1 minute. Cell phones, I mean, it's just a new age. They say, preacher, listen, it's 2018. I know it is. I know people don't watch Bugs Bunny no more and the Little Rascals and all that. I know that. It's a different age. I know it. They're smarter than I am. They're doing mathematics that I couldn't do when I was a junior. Doing it in elementary school. It's a stage of movement. I'm not that dumb. I know social media is a big thing. We preach on it. We got over 2,400 sermons. It's reaching a world with the gospel. That's a good thing. I'm not preaching all against it. I'm just saying that we can't be bound to everything, that we can't do common things. And our children grow up. And you know what they say today when they try to find somebody to work? We can't find nobody to work. They don't know how. Amen. They never have been taught nothing. Thank God. If I can give them a cell phone, if I can give them a computer, they'd be all right. But if I put them in a workforce somewhere, well, they got a labor they don't know how. And they don't want to. Let me read the rest of them. God have mercy on me. I didn't mean to get off on all that. Listen, he said here, he said they're unthankful. Yeah. Now here's another one I'm going to get on. Buddy, can I tell you something tonight? You look up here, young people. Every child needs to look at me. Son, if anybody does anything for you, an adult or a child, and you can't put on your lips, thank you, then you don't need it. That is one of the worst sins before God Almighty, ingratitude. That crowd in the wilderness complained and murmured and grumbled about everything. And God let them die in the wilderness. Amen. Because they wouldn't believe God and they was unthankful to God. And that was one of the sins that started out in people's heart before they become sodomites. They was unthankful. They worshiped the creature more than the creator. And I'm telling you tonight, friend, one of the last day sins in the church world is everybody owes me something. I like what Roloff said tonight. I was listening to him before I come in. He said, that ain't the government. It's the giverment.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody owes me that. You know, they owe me that. Son, nobody. Hey, praise God. Amen. I owe you love in Christ, and I love you, and I respect you, and you owe that to me. But praise God, you don't know me. I owe God. I'm a debtor to God. Unholy. God said to be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the attitude of the heart toward the government of God and His love. And His mercy and His truth. Notice this here tonight. Praise God. He said without natural affection. That deals with a family matter, friend. That deals that we got family members that don't even love their own youngins. Praise God, a dog loves his own. Without natural affection. I'm going to say this too. That also means in the natural ranks of society that a man has a natural affection for a woman. He ain't never looked at a man and said, that's a good man. That's a handsome man. That's sick. I couldn't even imagine thinking like that. A boy told me the other day, he said, you know, I was looking at that girl the other day, preacher, and I said, well, that's your nature, ain't it? Just don't let your mind take you too far. I'm going to tell you young boys in here, son. When you look at that little old girl over there in your classroom or down at Walmart, and you don't think once in a while, man, she's a knockout. You say, preacher, would y'all take that mess off? That's a mess. Oh, we need to don't talk like that. God help you, bunch of... I'm a realist, friend. I'm just being real as I can be. People that get up and say, well, I don't believe that way. Well, God help you lying out of your teeth. What's wrong with you? Amen. I got one wife God give me. But I'm telling you what, friend. These young boys that's growing up is looking for a wife. What do you think they ought to look at? The wall? God help you. Ain't a boy in here when he gets that motor running. That means adolescent. Hormones start to turn in their body, son. He won't want to tell it. He says, boy, she's pretty. And then you tell your boy he ought not think like that. You ought to be ashamed. He ought not think unholy things. But buddy, I'm telling you what, when he looks at that girl over there, son, he ought to say, man, praise God. Amen, preacher. I know I'm right on that. Amen. You say, hey, you know, that's nature.
Yeah.
The dog about bit my hand off when I went over there to get it from that female dog. He said, I ain't coming in your truck. I said, come here, boy, I got some snacks. That's why they run that pack after that girl dog, because they're going to get killed if they don't get away from it. They males will kill one another. You know why? It's a female. Why did God make them like that? Wonder why God told man to replenish the earth. Wonder why God didn't have to tell the animals to do it. They just done it.
Right.
God didn't have to have a class to tell the animals how to do something. Nature. That's without natural affection now. It ain't no natural affection to this now. Thank God, that's why we got all these people wanting to have same-sex marriage and everything else, which is an abomination, I think.
Amen.
Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means that we don't have no self-control. Fierce. You know what that word fierce means? It means savages. That means they're out of control, man. They're like a bunch of savages. They ain't got no control. Amen. You saw people like that, hadn't you? They got some weird look in their eyes. That's the way they do. That's right. I go talk to them. I say, man, the Bible says this. I don't care what the Bible says. That's the kind of attitude they got.
That's right.
That's right, son. Why has people got these cold blood murders today? You don't hear something tonight? Listen, friend. God can forgive any sin, but I'm telling you what, when people premeditate murder and go do it, them people's as guilty as being reprobate as a sodomite. Say, I don't like it. Well, it don't matter. I'm talking about premeditate to think the hatred in their own heart to hate somebody like that and say, I'm going to go kill that man. Somebody can lose their mind and do it. Somebody could snap and do it. But when they sit back at their house and they want to go rob somebody and take a gun to them and kill them. And I'm for grace. But Noah, thank God the government of the land said if he's going to shed his blood, shed his. You say, do you believe in capital punishment? Sure I do. The Bible teaches, they said that they should execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. The law is to protect us.
Right.
Not to protect the wrong, somebody wanting to, thank God, take a gun to somebody and just go in a store somewhere and go in, and no matter where it's at. You listen to what I'm about to say. It's wrong no matter where it's at. Fierce boys. Despisers of those that are good. Can I tell you what word I thought of when I read that? Y'all won't hold this against me, will you? And I know this is you're going to laugh about it. Despisers of those that are good, Democrats. You say, I'm one. Well, you need to change.
There you go.
I ain't vote for nobody's platform that backs abortion and same-sex marriage. Buddy, you say, well, they give me more money. That's a lie. I'm telling you, that's a lie given by the Roosevelt and all that. But I'll tell you this tonight, friend. It ain't about how much money somebody gives me. God's my father. I don't have to trust anybody that's in a political ranks. Trump, Obama, whoever's there. God, they're not putting food on my table. God is. And brother, I'm telling you, I don't have no problem with that because I know God's a father. But I'm telling you this tonight, when it comes down to me voting, it's on morality. God, listen, the Bible said the nation that forgets God's going to be judged. Traitors, that's what Judas was. Heady, that's them people you couldn't tell nothing. You ever talk to somebody that knows everything, you can't tell them nothing. I know people like that. My daddy used to say when I played ball, he said, you couldn't tell you nothing. You'd argue with a stop sign. That's what he'd say. I hated losing so bad, I'd argue with them to win. I don't do that no more. I quit that debate and stuff. It never got nothing nowhere. You debate with people, you're not going to win. Me and you debate on football, but it don't matter when it's true and nobody's ever won. You might thought you won. I might thought I won, but it don't change nothing. People argue in the home, debate about something. It don't change nothing. You can argue all day. Y'all not argue in the home anyway. Your kids is watching you. That don't mean I'm perfect from it, but I'm telling you one thing, friend. That clamor and all that evil speaking and cussing one another and threatening one another and all that stuff, that's of the devil. I like love, man. I'd rather my wife to hug me than argue with me. Amen. High-minded. People of high-minded son. Oh, yeah, high-minded son. You in. I say, they want to pew something down. They sitting there, son, like they Joe Cool. You tell me something. That's right. This is God's truth. I've seen it in the church.
Yes.
Your countenance shows a lot of things. See, I got the privilege of looking at everybody's countenance. You look at my old mug head up here. That's right. High-minded, son. They're high-minded. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Can I tell you, somebody's going to tell you what to do till you die. You get your mess out there in that car. You run up down the highway, sir, and you go down Jake Alexander about 90 miles an hour, and the blue light gets you. They're going to tell you what to do. Get out of the, just sit in the car and give me your license because you're about to be ticketed and I'm going to take you on to jail. And then when you get in jail, they're going to tell you what to do. And when you go to the hospital, they're going to tell you what to do. Amen. When you go to work, they're going to tell you what to do. Amen. When you go to church, the priest is going to tell you what you ought to do. Amen. There's always somebody going to tell you what to do. Jonathan, your daddy, praise God, you still at home, bought you a house, but one day, praise God, when you move out, you can be your own boss. And even right now, you got saved, he's gracious to you, you know, but, you know, Jeremy's married, and these young boys are married, that's their own home, huh? You know, Matt's married. Mandy's married. I don't run their house. I don't even call them asking what they're doing. I don't even call them giving my advice unless they want it. Can I give you some advice? Don't give advice unless they want it. That's right. Well, if somebody don't ask for advice, don't give it. I'm a general talker. I've learned that. I'm helping you. Just be general. If you know somebody's going to backlash on you, be general to them. Amen. Don't say something that's going to make them mad and fall off the wheel. If I knew my wife and me, we married a long time. Well, I know what could make her mad. I could say something tonight and make her mad. Amen. She could say something and make me mad. Well, why would I take that avenue? Take the high road. Amen. Say things that's going to make her feel good. Not just to do it to flatter her, but praise God, it's better to talk right than stir up a skunk on the road. You can go around the skunk. I've been woke up by them before at night. We just come back from a camp one night about 3 o'clock in the morning. Man, I was about half asleep, and I run over a skunk. Son, it got all in my car. I was awake the rest of the night. But it stunk. It stunk. You know what you can do? You can go around the skunk. You can stay away from trouble if you choose to. But if you want to stir up controversy, then that's what you'll do. Heady, high-minded. Lover's a pleasure, son. Look how many ball tickets are being sold today. On Sunday. I'm not against a boat. I don't know who's got them, who don't. I'm going to get out there and shine that boat. You got to shine that boat, put that wax on it. Shine that boat, and boy, I see all them people on the man. You know what? What? I mean, here's the thing, folks. I think God's given us things to love. When I say love, it's not like a love of God, but it's enjoyment. I enjoy some things I don't. But I think the lovers of pleasure means it's just fond of it. They let that go too far. Amen. You know it, and I know it both, Brother Danny. We've lost sleep over that kind of stuff before, man. I mean, and them people don't care 2 cents about us. They wouldn't care what. I mean, you think Alabama, you think Nick Saban would care 2 cents whether you thought of what he thought? We'll sit there, man, I don't know why he done that. Throw the ball, you crazy. Then after it's over, you know, your spirit's done phone. You go to bed and you're laying there and saying, boy, I hate they done that. My wife said, what you saying that for? They don't hear you and they don't care. Having a form of godliness. That's the whole kingpin of it all right there. We're going to meet as a little social club. Preacher ain't going to say nothing about sin or get on your, you know, say anything that it would offend you. And denying the power thereof from such turn away. If we can't have the truth, let's just throw her out, boys, and go to the ball game. That's right. I mean, if I can't have God and have His truth in the church and preach it the way God says it, what is it worth? It's the truth's falling in the street today because the form of godliness has come into church and we got an appearance and we go through the motions. And that's all we do is go through the motions. Amen. And before you know it, there's no power of God nowhere, no unction of God, no joy of God, and nothing going on at the church. He said, from such turn away. Why would people want to go to these traditional backward collar robe wearing churches where there's nothing going on? Why would they want to go to a Baptist church? And why would they want to go to a Presbyterian or Pentecostal where there's no, thank God, no testifying, no singing, nothing? Amen. Why? Because it's a form of godliness. Denying the power thereof from such turn away. Well, I've held you a long time. Let's stand.